Der Fußballsommer ist da. Jetzt heißt es mitfiebern, mitjubeln und sogar mitspielen. Klick aufs Banner und werde mit Rewe Bonus, dem Vorteilsprogramm der Rewe-App, selbst zum Matchwinner. Gewinne dein Elfmeter-Duell mit Bo, dem stärksten Rewe-Torwart aller Zeiten, und sicher dir damit wöchentlich deinen Fan-Coupon sowie die Chance auf attraktive Sachpreise. Also los, schnapp dir jetzt deinen Fan-Bonus in der Rewe-App. Nur bis zum 18.07.
Stu does America.
Follow the show on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Be sure to hit subscribe and hit the bell as well for notifications. By the way, StuDoesMerch.com is up. Shirts, mugs, stickers, t-shirts, burkas. I don't even know what else is up there. Stu10 is the code. You'll save 10% on your entire order. We have Jennifer Say here to talk about the return of sanity in the wide world of sports. We have the left coming after D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. What a weird turn this is. We'll get to the latest there. But we're going to start by doing the war on our children's minds. And this has kind of been a war that's been going on for a while. It's certainly accelerated since, COVID. And, you know, we have Jennifer Say on it. And that's how we came to know her. She was, an executive at Levi's who was, trying to just be a sane parent in the middle of COVID, saying like, hey, maybe kids should be able to go to school. Is this crazy? It cost her career, right? The sanity has, seemingly was going down the toilet there for several years. I think things are starting to turn around. And that goes to, not only people like Jennifer, who's trying to do something on her own, but also efforts from governments as well to try to get schools under control and turning that around the right way. I really do feel the left had this plan kind of working out really, really well until COVID hit. We were moving very slowly, methodically toward a progressive direction when it came to schools. They were, even in red states, were kind of like turning into nightmares. It was a real reason to put your kid in private school if you could, to homeschool if you could, to do everything you could to get your kids out of these schools. And then COVID hit, and all of a sudden parents were home actually learning what their kids were going through on a day-to-day basis and saying, wait a minute, this sort of woke a lot of parents up. So there's been lots of efforts now to turn that around. School choice is a huge part of this. That's coming here to Texas starting in the 2026-27 year, although it's now spreading to tons of states around the country. Again, this is a long-term conservative priority as far as policy goes. You go to like the nerdy think tanks and they had lots of papers written about school choice. Never seemed to go anywhere. No one ever seemed to do anything with it. COVID hits. Now it's simply in like 20, 30 states that we're looking at it. Real progress has been made. And I don't mean the old school George Soros kind of progress. By the way, his birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday, George, if you happen to be watching. Not that kind of progress, but like actual positive progress for kids. And that's what we're supposed to be doing here. Now, I bring this all up because today's, at least here in Texas, is back to school day. My kids went back to school today, and it also happens to be my son's birthday. So happy birthday, son. School starts. That's what he gets. He gets that almost every year, it seems like. But in Texas, it's back to school day. And I was looking at some of the rule changes, the laws that have changed just in this past year in Texas. Now, your state might not be as aggressive as Texas. There's a couple that might even be more aggressive than Texas. But I wanted to highlight Texas as part of a sort of window into the changes that are being made from a conservative perspective in schools. And pretty jaw-dropping, frankly, when you look at the changes. This is just in 1 year, and this comes from Fox 4 here in Dallas. Some of the new Texas laws for the 2025-26 school year. First off, we have the ban on cell phones and smart devices. House Bill 1481 prohibits students from using a personal communication device during school hours. This has been something that we've been talking about for a long time. I'm fully for this. I am 100% behind this effort. I think it's crazy that there's another thought or option, frankly, when it comes to this. We all know how distracting phones are to adults, let alone kids who are trying to get through a school day. This is happening particularly in high schools, although it's hit a lot of middle schools as well, where you have a situation where kids are on the phones constantly. They're not paying attention to school. And this is something I've talked a lot about in relation to the Jonathan Haidt book that came out, I believe it was last year, called The Anxious Generation, which is, if you have kids, I would say really of any age, but like, you know, anywhere, it's really important to read as well before you get them into device land, right? If you got a 7-year-old kid, great time to read this book. So you remember to not let them have the cell phone when they first beg for it when they're 10. You know what I mean? Like, it is incredibly important to understand what these things are doing to kids' minds. You know, I mean, they are, I mean, the anxiety, the depression, all of these things are all shooting through the roof, coincidentally, almost to the day the iPhone came out. It's like that blatantly obvious when it comes to the real smartphone generations of the iPhone. Jonathan Haidt highlighted a video. He said this wonderful video is going around of a teacher marveling at the immediate effects of his school and the state going phone free. Is Jonathan Buckwalter, a social studies teacher in Alabama. I hope all teachers and state legislatures will watch this. Well, I hope you will watch it as well, which is why we pulled it so you could. Here it is. This is, again, social studies teacher in Alabama.
My school, my state, banned the phones. Banned the phones. Today, all of my students, 100% of them, took notes in my class, did their assignment, asked for help when they got stuck, and turned it in. And then when they were done, they talked to each other. Was it this easy the whole time? I have been pulling my hair out for like 8 years. Has it been this easy of a solution the whole time?
I mean, he's just exasperated, gone through all that time dealing with this. And, you know, I don't know if it's the end all be all. It's not going to solve every problem at school, right? There's problems at school that existed long before cell phones were there. I do think it's going to make a major difference for a lot of people. And I think the more you can keep your kids away from these things, the longer you can keep them away from these things, the better. I mean, they're in the Jonathan Haidt book, they talk a lot about creating groups of parents that can come together and say, hey, not only are we're banning them at school, we're not giving them to our kids until much, much later. If you're going to give them a device, if they need one, you know, the watch is a great example of a midpoint, right? They can still text. They can still call you when needed. They can do very basic things. But it's honestly kind of an annoying experience, the Apple Watch and many other smartwatches. Like, it's not like as engaging. It's kind of annoying to use. You don't really want to be on it all the time. That's exactly what you want with kids. You want them to have to not be sucked in by all of this, so they actually live lives that kids should live. And so, if you have to give them something where I get it. You know, they're at sports all the time. You got to pick them up. You need to be in contact with them. I understand that. The smartwatch is a much better version of the phone for your purposes as a parent. For their purposes, they want to be on it all the time. They want to be playing, you know, games. They want to be watching constant videos. They're not going to get a lot of that off the phone. And if they do, it's tiny and they can't really see much of it. And it's annoying. Frankly, it's annoying. And that is probably what you want to do. So anyway, that's step number one. Texas did this in schools. No cell phones, no personal communication devices at all at school ever until it's over. Not even between classes. None of it. Major, major development. Okay, more than that. DEI and sexual orientation teachings. Senate Bill 12 banned diversity, equity, and inclusion practices and restricts teachings about sexual orientation and gender identity in public schools. Again, there's a lot of things to do at school. A lot of things to learn about. There's a lot. It's hard. Even when all you have is math and English and social studies and science, and you go through all that, you still can't get to the end of it. It's like Disneyland. You can't get through it in a day. You can't get through everything you really could learn in all the main important parts of education. So you don't need to add in the fact that skin color is actually the most important thing in the world. And actually, you should hate everybody who's white and whatever else they're teaching in these schools. That's completely gone from Texas. I'm sure there will be some cities who will try to slide it in somehow, and we'll be getting those stories and covering them. By the way, you should know as a parent, if you are in a school where in a state where they have not banned all of this stuff and are not removing it from public schools, that you do have a right to opt out of it And that was something that you might have missed over the past few months, you know, with all the Supreme Court stuff going on. It, you know, might have been in the background. There's a lot of news, a lot of crazy stuff going on a day-to-day basis. Can teachers opt out? What Mahmoud versus Taylor means for educators. The court emphasized that the First Amendment protects parents' rights to direct the religious upbringing of their children, even during the school day. With the removal of the opt-out option, students were required to receive instruction that conflicted with their family's religious beliefs. Recognizing students as captive and impressionable audience, the court held that failing to provide notice and an opt-out opportunity for such content violates apparent parental rights. And I highlight that because that's your right as a parent. You should know that. Sometimes, you know, it feels like there's pressures. You're not allowed to do that. Well, the Supreme Court is on your side. I'm not going to go into the minutiae of how it affects parents here, but that article is outlines that. And if you happen to be a teacher, and you're interested in how that might affect you, you should go read that and get up on that information, because it's you know, you get some rights too as a teacher. You're not just an automatron. So there you go. Also in Texas, 10 commandments in the classroom. Senate Bill 10 requires schools to post a durable poster or framed copy of the 10 commandments in every public school classroom. Again, this goes back to the founding of the country, in that never was there a design by our founders to say religion can never be intertwined with any state institution. That's not the way it worked. In fact, right after they went through the, you know, all the big documents that you remember reading about in school, hopefully, if you weren't learning about DEI, right after that, one of the first things they did was have a congressional day of prayer, right? Like, this is something that is very central to the founding of this country. And it's central to really the foundations of those documents that we were talking about. I mean, we've had David Barton on a million times, who's gone through all the original letters and everything. It's important to know that stuff. And now this is something that will be displayed. You know, the foundations of essentially what this, certainly of Christianity, but also of what the Judeo-Christian values that this country was founded on, they're there now to be presented. I mean, again, you might say, oh, well, I mean, kids aren't going to look at the posters on the wall. They never do it anyway. It might be true. You know, it's pretty much how I went through school, certainly. But I will say, it's just an amazing thing to put a moment here, mark a moment totally different than where we were not that long ago, right? Think about where we were in the George Floyd, post-George Floyd era, the massive peak wokeness of 2022, 2023 in that era. We're out of that right now and going the opposite direction. Prayer in schools is another one. This Senate Bill 11 allows Texas public school to adopt a policy to allow students, not to force them, but to allow them to participate in voluntary daily period of prayer and reading of the Bible or other religious texts. And again, everyone will tell you to focus on, oh, they're forcing kids to pray. This allows them to pray. Okay, they should be allowed to pray if they want to pray. Also, and again, that's another Supreme Court situation. We talked about that with the coach, Coach Kennedy, I think it was his name. He's been on the show, a great guy. This has already been shown that you can do it on school grounds. But also, you know, maybe a period where it could be your religious text, the Bible, or really, you know, whatever you believe. Other new laws, food additives banned in school meals, changes to school suspensions, a bunch of other stuff. The additives, and, you know, look, you know me. I'm like 94% industrial chemicals at this point. So I really don't care, frankly, whether they remove additives out of schools. In fact, I encourage my kids to have as many additives as possible. That your mileage may vary on that. But this is coming, if you're a big fan of the sort of the MAHA stuff, it's not exactly my bag, frankly. But schools are bracing for MAHA changes to lunches. It looks like there's going to be some big recommendations coming down from RFK and the crew to change it. And again, you know, again, I'm not like worried about whether my kids lose access to their artificial food coloring. I just don't care about it all that much. But you might, and a lot of people do. So what else do we have? We have, this is another one. This isn't as related to schools, but another really important thing that has maybe slipped by your radar that's happening in Texas right now. This has to do with the Senate race here as well. Let me give you this. Texas cracked down on taxpayer-funded lobbying for more taxpayer money. This is a really interesting story. This one's from National Review. A report by Texas Public Policy Foundation estimates that in 2023, local governments spent as much as $98.6 million to hire contract lobbyists. is an increase from $75 million. What the heck is a contract lobbyist? Well, last September, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, he's running for Senate, by the way, here in Texas, settled with seven school districts, which he had sued over their alleged electioneering against a major school choice bill that eventually passed and became law. As part of the settlement, districts agreed to add safeguards to their social media policies to better monitor their future election or legislation-related social media posts. Then this April, Paxton's office accused the Houston Independent School District for its allegedly promoting a school bond issue. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has also had enough. He has made curbing taxpayer-funded lobbying a priority for this month's special session of the legislature. The state Senate has approved a bill that would prevent cities, countries, and school districts from spending taxpayer dollars to hire outside lobbyists. So think about this. Like, you pay your taxes. It goes to a school. They're not using it to educate their kids. They're using it to hire a lobbyist who then lobbies to change the law against the thing you want. Now, taxes are annoying already, but that's really, really annoying. Now, let me give you just an added layer to this. What happens if you happen to be in Texas and you had to pay to send your kids to private school, and then you sent your taxes anyway, and then they fought against the school choice bill, which would give more people access to private school? Wouldn't that be annoying? Well, that's been my existence lately. When Texas House Democrats returned from their self-exile over a dispute about congressional redistricting, the bill is expected to pass and then be signed into law by Abbott. He was on the radio show today, by the way. I encourage you to go back and listen to that. He knows a popular issue when he sees it. 2019 and 2021 polls by WPA Intelligence found that about 9 in 10 Texans oppose using tax dollars to fund lobbyists. Who's the 1 in 10? It has to be a lobbyist, right? Like, who would oppose that? You want your money going for lobbying? No one likes lobbying. Anyway, by the way, Texas, that whole situation when it comes to the representatives going on their little vacation funded by Beto dollars, Texas Democrats are going to return home for a second special session. ABC 13 sources are confirming. This would mean that, of course, the redistricting plan goes through. And again, I hesitate on the redistricting thing to say, hey, this is going to add 5 seats for Republicans. Be careful, everybody. Okay. One of the ways that Republicans are redrawing these maps, for example, sort of assumes that the change in Hispanic vote that we've seen over the past, through the Trump era, basically, is real and permanent for Republicans. It might or might not be. I get nervous sometimes when this stuff happens. When you turn a Republican plus 25 district, meaning that Republicans typically win by, in normal circumstances, by about 25 points. And what they do to get these districts, I don't know how much nerdery you've sort of dove into on this, but like if you got a Republican plus 25 district, what they'll do is they'll shave that. And they'll shave it down to, let's say, a Republican plus 10 district. And they'll take that plus 15 that was in that district and they'll sort of slide it into another district, which used to be Democrats plus 5. And all of a sudden that Democrat plus 5 becomes Republican plus 10. And you've got 2 Republican plus 10 districts. And in theory, you win both of those districts. In theory, right? Doesn't always work that way. Sometimes, a blowout district in a race where things go against Republicans, if things start to turn a little bit more negative, it's been a good run for Republicans lately, but if it turns a little bit more negative, those plus 10s turn into plus 2s and evens, and then you're spending a lot of resources to defend 2 seats instead of defending 1. That is sometimes how you get burned on this stuff. And it can also, I mean, in some ways it's weird because like you talk about California trying to redistrict even more and they're completely already gerrymandered to the hilt there. But it's possible that they try to redistrict so much that Republicans actually pick off a few of those districts. So something that is possible as well. So anyway, that's what we're looking at here on Back to School Day. Here in Texas, your state, might be. I gotta be honest with you. I grew up in Connecticut. I feel like we went back to school like late September. I don't know this weird mid-August thing. I don't even understand it. But that's what we do here in Texas. You've got over the next couple months, everybody will be going back to school, I suppose. So that's the type of change we are. We should at least, I don't know, step back and say, hey, wow, we've come a long way. I want to talk about that a little bit with Jennifer Say. She is from XXXY Athletics. She joins us next. Does America. It's funny, the reason yesterday we were talking about Jennifer Say was because we were talking about XXXY Athletics. This is the clothing company that she wound up kind of starting on her own. I said, hey, let's get her on this week. She's going to be on with us next. So very cool. We love talking to Jennifer. Now, 79% of Americans agree that men do not belong in women's sports. It's not a close call. There's a lot of divisive issues that we have in our politics. We talk about them all the time. This actually isn't one of them, despite the way the media talks about this all the time. So in 2025, XXXY Athletics is the brand standing up for American values, free speech, and biological reality. Wear what you believe. Too many are out there are kind of afraid to say it out loud. I get that. It's kind of hard sometimes. You get the big brands. They're always ducking these issues. The media is yelling at you about how evil you are if you believe that normal things. XXXY makes it simple. You put it on and you speak without even having to say a word. The clothes are high quality. When you wear them, you make a statement. You stand with women and girls when it comes to these really important issues. XXXY Athletics has amazing logo tees, premium workout clothes, including leggings and moisture wicking tops and tanks, tennis dresses and skirts, shorts, however you work out, no matter what you're doing, you're going to love it. And you don't have to sacrifice fit or quality or style to wear your values. Even the guy who thinks stretching is a conspiracy can get behind that. By the way, I am that guy, just so you know. Why send your money to brands that sell women out when you can wear XXXY Athletics instead? Head to their website. It's thetruthfits.com. Thetruthfits.com. You enter the promo code BLAZE20 and I'll give you 20% off right now. So check it out. Thetruthfits.com. Thetruthfits.com. The code is BLAZE20. We talked to the founder, Jennifer Say. She's up next.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
I'm happy to welcome Jennifer Say back to the program. She's the former Levi's brand president and founder and CEO of XXXY Athletics. Jennifer, thanks so much for coming back on the program.
Thanks for having me, Stu.
Yeah.
How are you?
It's great. It's great. I'm doing great. It's great to see you. I was thinking of you this week because we were planning to do a monologue today on the return. You know, it's back to school. My kid's going back to school today. And I was thinking about the changes we've seen over the past few years. I've been thinking about, you know, the COVID era, right? And we can all kind of put ourselves back in that time where everything was like closed down, and whether it was a few weeks or a few months, depending on where you were, maybe a few years in California. And we can all kind of like remember those times and be like, I can't believe that. That was crazy. Like, I try to explain it to my kids who are just young enough to not quite remember it exactly, luckily.
Yeah.
And I think of how crazy that was. But I don't think we have the same perception quite yet about how crazy 2022, 2023 really was when it comes to that sort of peak woke era. Your story, when it comes to your road to starting XXXY Athletics, kind of starts back in that COVID period. So give me a progress report. Where are we these days?
Well, goodness, Stu, a little off topic from the brand and XXXY Athletics, I'm also making a movie right now called Generation COVID. Mm. And we just released a trailer on X. If people just go to my Twitter, Jennifer, which is just my name, Jennifer Say, S-E-Y, you can find the trailer. And I felt it was really important to create a document of what happened because people want to memory hole it. Almost everyone was complicit, at least for a time, in what we did to our children. In blue states, as you mentioned, they were kept out of school for a full year and a half and restricted in their schooling and other activities for 2 years beyond that. And, you know, the kids are still paying the price, the learning loss, the chronic absenteeism, you know, very high rates of kids not graduating. So I'll just kind of put that aside because I think culturally we're not quite ready to reckon with that either. There's sort of broad, fuzzy acceptance of the fact that, yeah, maybe schools were closed too long. But I think until there's a real reckoning, we really risk that this could happen again. And it's very uncomfortable to reckon with, given the complicity by so many of our institutions. So that said, I think there's a similar process happening regarding gender ideology. A lot of progress has been made, as you referenced. I mean, it started with Trump signing the executive order on February 5th, which I was, you know, present for, which was pretty cool. We now have the two biggest governing bodies, the NCAA and the USOPC, that have said their rules now are you have to be female to compete in women's sports. Crazy idea, right? And yet people are still terrified to say it out loud. I just wrote a Substack this morning about this. I get notes every single day from people saying, I love your brand. It's so cool. I'm too afraid to wear it in public. Isn't that, I mean, what a world it is, Stu, where 80% of Americans agree on this very basic common sense thing. All the major governing bodies now, that is the rule. And yet people are afraid to say, yeah, I believe in fair competition for girls and women because of this like insane bullying cultish minority that just smacks you down and calls you a bigot. So we still have work to do. I think we really need to move the culture forward so that people aren't afraid to say it. Otherwise, I think we risk going backwards.
Yeah, we should point out too, like your stuff, you know, it could be very subtle. It was one of the things, like it's just great stuff that you would want to wear while you're working out or just want to be comfortable. It doesn't necessarily, I mean, if you know that what it is, you know what it is, which is great. I love stuff like that. Let me take it back to your story a little bit too, because you know you're well known as you know a gymnast and you know, you're a Levi's executive, and when you kind of came to a place where you're like, wait a minute, the world's going crazy, is in COVID, you're trying to make very basic, I think obvious points that kids need to go back to school, and it's really important that they do, and now you've been talking about a lot about the gender issue in sports. Now, other than them being, I think, both really obvious correct points. There's not necessarily it's not necessarily like a it's certainly brave, but there's not necessarily an obvious tie between those two things. Did you find how did you get from talking about, you know, wanting kids to get back to school in COVID and then talking about these types of gender issues?
Yeah. That's a great question. And in fact, the first thing I spoke out about was abuse in gymnastics, which I know you know, and I know your daughter is a gymnast. I wrote a book in 2008 called Chalked Up, which was really the first kind of whistleblower account of abuse in the sport. And then I made a film called Athlete A. It seems sort of obvious that that would have been an okay thing to say and expose, but boy, that was not the case in 2008. And I really got a good beating by internet beating by my former teammates in USA Gymnastics and the US Olympic Committee, because you weren't supposed to say it. You were supposed to protect the coaches and the reputations of the institutions that govern the sport, not expose these abusers. So I would say across those three examples, there actually is a connection, and that is standing up for children. You know, I endured a really abusive training environment. And as I grew up, I really look back on it and wish that somebody, a sane adult, had stood up for me. You know, the abuse in the gym was obvious. It was so obvious. I'm not talking about like fuzzy line, tough coaching stuff. You know, I'm talking about announcing kids' weight over the loudspeaker, calling them fat pigs, because they gained a quarter pound, and just, you know, abject humiliation in front of all of your teammates. That's just one example. We were denied food. We were forced to train on broken bones. I mean, to me, these are sort of very obvious examples of abuse. That's not tough coaching. That's abuse. And so, but we did not feel like we were in a position to speak up. We're kids. Kids are sort of voiceless and very vulnerable and want, especially young girls, I think, want to please the adults around them. And you sort of convince yourself that you're the weakling because you can't endure this or are struggling and suffering. And so I just feel a real obligation as a common sense adult to stand up not only for my kids, but for all children. And when there's harm being done, obvious harm, that's our responsibility. That's what's so gross and, you know, just grotesque about COVID, that time frame. Children were used as human shields to protect adults and to protect the elderly, or at least that's what was said. And that's not how it's supposed to work. We're supposed to protect them.
That's incredibly true. I mean, it's got to be a lot, though, to deal with. I mean, you bring up three big examples where, you know, the people who you've kind of surrounded yourself with, right? Other gymnasts, the establishment there, your time as a, you know, big clothing executive, right? Like, you described that to us before, where people you'd work with for years and years and years and years who seemed to love you and love all your opinions and loved all the work that you did, sort of turned on you, you know, out of nowhere for something that, you know, is insane. And then, of course, I don't think I even need to explain to the audience what it's like to come out and say that, you know, women are supposed to be the ones playing in women's sports. That's not an easy path either. Is there a part of you that's just like, you know, kind of sick of doing this and tired of taking the constant beating?
Some days, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you deal with it too. But then I go, how can we live in a world where we can't say, no, men cannot become women? I mean, the most obvious basic fact that we've all known since the beginning of time. And I keep going and I get enough encouragement. I mean, the bullying is intense. It's tough to run this brand. You know, the vast majority of Americans agree with us, and yet we're sort of shut out of the mainstream media. We're banned from advertising on TikTok. I mean, every day it's some other thing. But we keep going. There are people, we have passionate, loyal fans. They're telling their friends. People are screwing up their courage every day to say this obvious thing. And I guess, Stu, I just feel like, you know, even when I was speaking out about COVID, it was clear that it could take my life down a very unexpected path. And I had to ask myself, do I want to do this? Do I want to keep going? And at the end of the day, I care about free speech, children, and the truth. And, you know, not standing in defense of those three things is more frightening to me than the abuse and the bullying and the being banned and, you know, banished from corporate America. It's much scarier to me, the idea that we could live in a world where we all just nod along and say, yeah, of course, men can be women. Mm. We'll believe anything if we say that.
Yes, it really, words don't mean things after, if that doesn't stand. Last one for you here, Jennifer. One of the things I really like about your story, because you mentioned like going to the White House and President Trump signing that executive order, which is really important. We started the show today with the back to school thing about all the laws that are changing and around the country and here in Texas. Many of them really, really positive changes. And all that stuff is important. One of the things I like about your story, though, is that you also are just doing this on your own. Like, you're kind of taking this, you talked about normie capitalism before, which is a term I love, which is, it's kind of how we always used to do it, right? It wasn't about, you know, necessarily even going out and passing laws. That's an important part of it. It's also about just like saying, hey, I think there's a need for this, and I'm going to go and do something on my own as an entrepreneur. It's like the most American possible approach.
Totally.
to a problem. That's kind of the path you've taken. Why did you choose to go that way?
I guess I thought you were going to go a different way with this, that, you know, you appreciate that I came from the left and I've sort of seen the light. I guess at the end of the day, I believe in the power of the individual. You know, when I wrote my book about abuse and gymnastics, I was not the most successful gymnast. I was not famous. I was not a writer, but I believed I could do it. And I believed my voice could make a difference. And I believed that was important. I felt the same during COVID. When I started speaking out, I think I had like 1,200 followers on X. But, you know, I found a community of other moms. We band together. And I think in the end, it went on way too long. But I think ultimately we did make a difference. So we all have a voice and we all have to use it. It sounds sort of trite at this point, but I guess that's really how I've lived my life. And at this point, I'm just so canceled that, you know, I might as well keep going and ignore the haters.
You can always get canceled more. I deal with it on a day-to-day
really?
Basis, Jennifer. Believe me, you can always get canceled
I don't know. I still, it seems hard. I'd have to be an actual Nazi, I think, instead of just what they call me. I think, although I don't know, that probably would, I don't know.
I've seen some of the algorithms. It seems to like that content. I don't know. Jennifer Say is founder of CEO of XXXY Athletics. Done so much in her life, and we love talking to her. Thanks so much for coming back on the show, Jennifer. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Stu.
D.C. Mayor Bowser is changing her tone a little bit on Trump as the crackdown ramps up. Donald Trump, of course, won the election. Bowser was, you know, she first, I guess, flew to Mar-a-Lago to see him. Republicans pressured her over Black Lives Matter lettering that she installed in front of the White House. Bowser agreed to remove it. Now, as Trump federalizes the police, Bowser faces perhaps the biggest test to her leadership says CNN. Bowser's comments talking about how she's not surprised that Donald Trump is going to take over, but says that the fact that we have more law enforcement and presence in the neighborhoods, that might be a positive. And again, like, I would think in a situation like this, I don't know, the way these stories typically play out, and I'll give you a couple examples of this in a moment, you know, like, there's a big Democratic figure, they realize they can get a bunch of clout by being anti-Trump, they say as mean things as possible about Trump, and, like, you know, it plays out kind of how you'd expect. I mean, Bowser has not been the most annoying figure, I will say, in this D.C. situation. She's at least saying things like she seems to care a little bit about the people of her city. I don't know. Seems to not be, you know, using this as just a platform to be mean to Donald Trump because it's what gets her personal clout. And, I don't know that she's been a great mayor by any means, but it's better than the alternative. There also is a limitation here. She knows that Trump has this power and there's not much she can do about it. So, you know, and she also doesn't want to lose the possibility of having D.C. elect a mayor at all. So, you know, she's playing this, at least trying to play a little bit with Donald Trump. And maybe that helps. Who knows? We will see. Speaking of other situations that play out exactly how you expect, Mamdani now leading by 19 points. It is somewhat surprising. I mean, this man is obviously a communist slash socialist. Now, they've had de Blasio before. They've gone down this road. But, like, this guy does seem to be a special brew of leftist, and he's going to look like, it looks like he's going to win. Cuomo is at 32%. Let's see. Mamdani lead among independents was more narrow, 30% supporting him. Adams, 20%. By the way, the whole way this works is 44% for Cuomo, 25% 44% for Mamdani. The way this is written is bizarre. 25% for Cuomo. So 44 to 25. Then Sliwa is at 12% and Eric Adams is at 7%. I mean, look, I don't want Andrew Cuomo to be mayor either. The good thing is I don't live in that city, so I don't have to worry about this, at least for the time being. You know, but there's no way that Eric Adams is going to win, it seems like, at this point. You'd think if he doesn't want Mamdani to win, he'd drop out. But he doesn't like Cuomo either. It's a big disaster. So anyway, that's where they are in New York. And Gavin Newsom says California will draw new electoral maps after Trump missed a deadline. He wrote this hilarious post. Donald Taco Trump, as many call him, missed the deadline. California will now draw new, more beautiful maps. You see what he's doing there? He's talking like Donald Trump. They will be historic as well as they will end up the Trump presidency. Dems take back the House. Big press conference this week with powerful Dems and Gavin Newsom, your favorite governor. That will be devastating for MAGA. Thank you for attention to this matter. And what's funny about that is his state burned down 8 months ago and none of the houses have been rebuilt. So it's hilarious that he's coming up with these funny Twitter lines, because even the richest people in the world and the most famous people in the world can't get their houses built in his state because his state is such a crap heap because of his own doing. that's what's so funny about the tweet, is he's not doing his job. He's instead tweeting. Isn't that funny? Oh, he's going to be a great president in 2028. Can't wait for that campaign. Let's say you want to get the hell out of California. Let's say you list your home and the first weekend is a parade of strangers dumb enough to buy a house in California. And some, you know, there might be some curious neighbors in there as well. They're like, hey, you seem to have walls. My house burned to the ground and Gavin Newsom won't help me get it back up. In fact, won't even clear us to get the environmental concerns so we can build walls and a foundation. So we're homeless right now. Maybe we can come and live open house to open house, something like that. If that's going on with you right now, you might have a problem, a real serious problem with your governor, but also your real estate agent. Without the right agent, all that traffic might not lead anywhere. Glenn Beck knows the frustration. He has dealt with agents who let good opportunities slip away because they were not prepared or did not know how to close the deal. That's why he started realestateagentsitrust.com. It's a free service that connects you with full-time professionals who know how to turn interest into offers. These agents are vetted for their track record and results. They know how to market your home to the right audience, filter out the noise, and negotiate serious buyers to the table. They handle the staging, the photos, the showings, all the stuff that you need to get done. And when you're ready to go, you can get out of there. I mean, you can get out of the state where Gavin Newsom is governor. Glenn stands behind these agents because they consistently get results. So go to realestateagentsitrust.com, realestateagentsitrust.com. It's a free service to you, by the way. It's realestateagentsitrust.com.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Tchibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Tchibo-Filiale und auf tchibo.de.
Axios has a story why Ford is doubling down on electric vehicles. And I assume right below the screen there when the story starts, it's just a bunch of question marks. I have no friggin' idea why, honestly. One of the things that they bring up is that they're now putting now $5 billion into a new family of electric vehicles. It's a big bet to be making. One of the fascinating parts about all of this, as far as the global battle is going, is China's basically been dumping money into this for years. And they have these massive factories that can make these things really cheaply. And you think, okay, you really want to buy a Chinese electric vehicle? Spend some time at some point going on YouTube and just like searching up reviews of the Chinese electric vehicles. Some of them are ridiculous. Like, they're really cool looking and they are really fast and they have incredible technology in them. And like, it's a real threat. And, I don't like protectionism at all. I do think eventually these things are going to show up on our shores, whether we like it or not. As of right now, they're trying to tariff. They basically tariffed the Chinese automakers out of the country. You know, I think Biden put on 125% tariff on them. So it's impossible basically to afford them if you're going to import them. I will say one thing we can do to try to make this a little bit better is at least cut the tariffs on American automakers who are still paying tariffs right now and trying to compete in this environment. And also, I don't know, going back to gas fueled vehicles, maybe doubling your bet on that would be a good way to go. Also, we have other news. $30,000 of stolen labubus have been recovered. What the hell are labubus? Do we know? I've seen these things around. $30,000, it's not that many. They're really expensive, apparently. And the one thing about them is they look like cute little dolls until you look closely, and then they just look evil. So I don't know what I don't know why they're the hot toy right now. I don't know really anything about them. But I will say, if you can steal $30,000 of labubus and sell them on the secondary market, maybe you can afford a Chinese electric vehicle. So maybe that's just a path forward for you. Taylor Swift is announcing a new album. This is The Life of a Showgirl. It is coming out. We don't know when exactly, but she is going to be on her boyfriend's podcast, the New Heights podcast with Jason and Travis Kelce. They expect this to be the most listened to podcast episode of all time. Now, it's already a popular podcast. And then Taylor Swift, I guess this is true. She's never done a podcast before, at least not in a very long time. She just doesn't do interviews like that. So this is I'm getting a nod from the Swifties on the crew who are now hiding their faces as they should behind the equipment. But yes, apparently her first ever podcast interview. So, and she's obviously one of the biggest stars in the world. So that's coming out too. And someone who used to be one of the biggest stars in the world, Madonna, is in the news once again. She's urging Pope Leo to go to Gaza, saying there's just no more time. She really wants Pope Leo to go to Gaza. You notice how no one encourages themselves to go to Gaza? Madonna's not saying, I would really like to go spend a weekend in Gaza. Why don't you go, Madonna? Go check it out. You know, there's plenty of available space. I don't think it's going to be the most luxurious vacation of your life, but go check it out if you're that interested. Don't send, poor Pope Leo there. You go yourself. Go check it out. You know what? And while you're at it, go check out Washington, D.C., who I'm sure you're saying is incredibly safe. All that going on at the same time. All right, back in a second. Got it in my hands right now. Issue 3 of Frontier Magazine from Blaze Media, available now. The only way to get it is through Blaze Unlimited. Go to blazeunlimited.com/stew right now. Lock in your subscription. The first 50 subscribers who use the code Blaze50 are going to get a discount. It's like $40 off. And special bonus access to the first 2 issues of Frontier Magazine. So you get to read all 3. It's blazeunlimited.com/stew. Super high quality. Awesome photos in it. Like, it is something you're going to leave on your coffee table. It's really high quality. You're going to really like it. It's blazeunlimited.com/stew. The promo code is Blaze50.